That there was, you know, there's movies today that show Christ lusting after women, show him, you know, in compromising situations. And these are all concoctions of Hollywood to try to sully the reputation of Jesus Christ. But the scripture says here that he knew no sin. He never had a lustful thought. And I was wondering, boy, it must have been terrible for his brothers and sisters.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of There's None Like Him, Jesus is Superior to Other Religious Leaders, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of There's None Like Him, Jesus is Superior to Other Religious Leaders.
In the word that God would open our eyes and we might behold wondrous things out of his law. As we come today, I wanted to share a message that leads into the conference this week, but also that leads into a series that I'm going to start preaching. The series that I'm going to be preaching is entitled, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. And I find that even as, and hopefully not next week, but the week after, I'll have a survey to pass out. Because in this message, as I'm led to do here a lot lately, in the process of writing another book, and as I write this book, my point is to show that people really don't know who Jesus is. Now, I'm not talking about unsaved, and I'm not talking about heathen. I'm talking about God's people. Really don't know who Jesus is. And so over the next couple of months, we want to focus on the idea and understand who this man named Jesus is. As we come today, and as I think about the conference, the message that I want to share is there's none like you. That Jesus is superior to every other religious leader. Now that's a bold claim to make. Because when you think about it, there's been some great religious leaders. Now again, I'm talking about in the Muslim, Hindu, Confucianism, Buddhism. There's been some powerful leaders, men who have led in a powerful way. But as a result of the sermon this morning, and as we look at this sermon today, we're going to find out that Jesus is superior to any religious leader that has ever walked across the face of this earth. Now, I continue by saying this. As we support people who are Christian missionaries, that they are taking the gospel, they are taking the message of Christ throughout the various entities of Pittsburgh, the United States, and the world. And we have the assurance in knowing that we are supporting ministries that are lifting up the greatest leader that ever lived. And we can have confidence that when we stand up here and we allow the missionaries to stand up here today, that each one of these individuals represent an organization that's lifting up Christ. Now, what we need to grapple with as Christians is, why is Jesus superior to all other religious leaders? And if we don't know that, see, that's what I'm saying, everybody don't know who Jesus is. Because if you knew who Jesus is, or if you know who Jesus is, then you would be able to tell me why he is superior to every religious leader that ever walked across the face of this earth. So, just in case you can't do that, by the time we get finished with the message today, that you will know why he is superior. And we're not just talking about something that somebody thought about or somebody said or is a nice, pious thing to think about, but we want to look at the whole cold, hard facts as to why he is superior, hands down, to anybody else. This morning, I want to start out with what I call a diving board text. And a diving board text is a text that, you know, you ever see people on a diving board, how do they jump off the board to get into the water, right? So we want to look at a scripture that is going to help us jump off the board into the message this morning and get into the water. So we might not necessarily come back to this verse, but I wanted to start out with this verse. And you remember when the disciples were out on the boat and a storm came up and Jesus came and he walked on water. Well, no, he was asleep in the boat. And he came and he stopped the storm. He calmed the storm. And then I like what it says in verse 27. It says that the men marveled in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27. It says, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? They saw something in Jesus that day that they had not seen in any man before him or any man after him. And it caused them to cry out, what manner of man is this? That's what we want to talk about today. What manner of man is this? Who is superior to all other religious leaders? There was a French philosopher by the name of Augustus Comte. And he was in a conversation with a sweet Scottish writer by the name of Thomas Carlyle. Now, Comte, he was a mathematician, and he said that he was going to come up mathematically with a religion to replace Christianity. And Carlyle responded with these words. Carlyle said to him, very well, Mr. Comte, very good. All you will need to do is speak as a man never spoke before, live as a man never lived before, be crucified, rise again the third day, and get the whole world to believe that you are still alive. Then your religion will have a chance. That's a powerful claim right there. Speak as a man never spoke, live as a man never lived, be crucified, die, rise again from the dead, and then get people to believe it. Wow, that's quite a claim. But that is exactly what Jesus did. And as we consider this message, I want to talk about what elevates him head and shoulders above everybody else. And you want to allow the points from this message to be burned in your heart. And you never forget what I'm going to share with you today. Because time and time again, we will be challenged as to the, I'm going to preach a message one Sunday on the historicity of Jesus Christ. And why do you have to preach a message on the historicity? Because there are knuckleheads and fools who believe that Jesus never even existed. So, I mean, even outside the Bible, there is sufficient evidence to show that Christ walked across the face of this earth. As we consider this message, let's look at what sets him apart, what causes him to stand head and shoulders above the rest, so that you'll be able to go from here and know that you have a Savior who can't be compared to anybody else. First of all, there's none like you. Who else? Oh, this is deep. Who else lived a sinless life? Tell me one person who ever lived a sinless life. See, man faces two problems. First of all, he's a sinner by birth. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. So man is a sinner by birth. So any man that's born into the world is a sinner. And then secondly, every man is a sinner by choice. So that includes everybody. And people that have headed up religions, to some degree, they have been the biggest sinners out there. I was doing some research on Muhammad, the founder of Islam. And I don't want to get into all the lewd and crude and disgusting things that Muhammad did. I'm talking about after he began to formulate Islam. If you ever want to read something that will break your heart, go read the life of Muhammad. And you will see he was anything but a saint. Go back and look at others who have started religions. Each one of these individuals, to a T, have committed some sin. And for those that have escaped immorality, those that have escaped lack of integrity, some of them have stood up and made prophecies that were absolutely false to show that they had a heart of sin. But we serve a Savior that walked across this earth without sin. When you think of Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That speaks of everybody. Everybody has sinned. There was a survey put out by the Barna Research Group, and it asked Christians. Now, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. We need this message, because even Christians don't know who Jesus is. And they asked the question, did Jesus live a sinless life? Christians now. 38% of those polled said that Jesus did not live a sinless life. They don't know who Jesus is. That's what I'm saying. Just little things like that along and throughout this sermon series that we'll be talking about, little things like that proves that Christians really don't know who Jesus is. The fact is that he is the only one that lived a sinless life. And we have three testimonies to prove the fact that Christ lived a sinless life. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The first testimony, the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. And speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, for he hath made him sin who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness in him. Notice what it says here. Made him who knew. This word knew, very interesting word, from the Greek word gnosko. And you know what it means? It means to know by personal interaction or personal experience. That Christ never interacted with sin. That there was, you know, there's movies today that show Christ lusting after women, show him, you know, in compromising situations. And these are all concoctions of Hollywood to try to sully the reputation of Jesus Christ. But the scripture says here that he knew no sin. He never had a lustful thought. And I was wondering, boy, it must have been terrible for his brothers and sisters, unlike some would have us to believe that he did have brothers and sisters. It must have been terrible for them. You know, when they were going around doing all these naughty things, And then here was Jesus. Never sinned, never did anything wrong. That's why, you know, they probably had a hard time with him. You know, just think about it. I don't know if you grew up in the family that, if you know, you might have been the perfect child, right? Then your brothers and sisters, or maybe you were the brothers and sisters. In one of those groups, one of those categories, it's just hard to be around somebody like that. But, I mean, just to think about, here Jesus grew up with other kids in a home, and he never did anything wrong. The scripture says, he that knew no sin. In Hebrews 4:15, we have another testimony. Hebrews 4:15. Speaking of Christ again, it says, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Every temptation imaginable to mankind came to Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that through it all, he was without sin. What a powerful testimony. What sets Jesus Christ? Somebody, man, you ought to be shouting in your heart right now. What sets Jesus Christ apart from any other religious leader? Every other religious leader has committed sin. And Jesus Christ, he never committed sin. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In him, in his core, in his very being is no sin. So the next time somebody asks you, what sets Jesus apart from every other religious leader? And you go back and you study it. Every religion has a founder. Every religion has a founder. There is some leader at the head of every religion. And every last one of them have feet of clay. Thank God. Thank God that we have a Savior who is without sin. Secondly, what sets him apart from any other leader? And as our missionaries go out, and as they represent Jesus Christ, and they're representing this individual, what sets him apart from everybody else? Secondly, he taught, who else taught like he taught? Nobody taught like him. In your notes, if you will look at them, I write in there, many religions recognize Jesus as a teacher. For example, Hinduism sees him as a guru or teacher, while Buddhists in America today generally view Jesus as an enlightened teacher. So there are religions of the world that recognize Christ as a teacher. But it's not good enough to recognize Jesus as a teacher, because he's much more than that. He is the greatest teacher who ever taught. That's a bold claim, bold statement to make, but I'm getting ready to back it up. I'm getting ready to prove it. He is the greatest teacher that ever taught. And there have been some great teachers that have taught. There has never been a teacher to write a textbook and then memorize it word for word. Woo! To write a textbook and then memorize. Anybody know a teacher? Name one teacher who wrote a textbook. Now, unless they wrote a 30-word book. I'm talking about and memorize it and know every word of it. That's why when he walked across the earth, he was always doing what? He was always quoting the Old Testament. Why is that? Because he had memorized the Old Testament. Well, let me go on. There has never been a teacher to write a textbook and memorize it word for word. There has never been a teacher who knew the hearts of his students. Most teachers, in order to find out what's in the heart of the student, what do they got to do? Give a what? I'll give a test. Jesus didn't, he didn't have to give any tests. I like what it says in John. It said that Jesus didn't commit himself to anybody because he knew what was in every man's heart. How many teachers know what's in the heart of the student? Most teachers don't know what's in the student's heart until the student starts talking or he gives a test. He or she gives a test. Jesus never had to do that. There's never been a teacher, again, who could evaluate how well the students have grasped material without giving a test or a term paper. There's never been a teacher who could hold the attention of his students for hours on end. The Sermon on the Mount. Some people say that that was about a six-hour sermon, and yet the people just stood there or sat there, riveted to their seats. And then at the end of it, you know what it said? When he got finished, you know what it said? And they were still so connected to the message. It says that they marveled that he taught as one who had authority. Nobody ever taught like Jesus. And there were some great teachers. Gandhi was a great teacher. There's other world-renowned teachers, but nobody ever taught like Jesus taught. Not only was he a teacher who had come from God, but watch this now, don't miss this. He was God come to teach. Not only was he a teacher come from God, but he was God come to teach. This makes him the greatest teacher of all times. I'll take anybody that you name and put them side by side with Jesus Christ, and nobody ever taught like he taught. How many people throughout the history of time have taught, and so many people years later are still following his teachings? We got great philosophers who have written books people still follow, but they don't have half the crowd that Jesus has. Jesus has influenced the lives of people throughout the centuries with his teaching. Well, let me give you three more testimonies as to the fact that he was an extraordinary teacher. First one is Nicodemus. And what did Nicodemus say? Now you got to realize that in Nicodemus's day, there was a lot of buzz going around about who Jesus was. And some people said he was John the Baptist. Some people said he was Elijah. Somebody said he was one of the prophets. But you know, one of the other things that was going around about Jesus is that he was a teacher sent from God. Well, how do we know that? Because Nicodemus says in John chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God."
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of There's None Like Him. Jesus is superior to other religious leaders. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, There's None Like Him, Jesus is Superior to Other Religious Leaders, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request There's None Like Him, Jesus is Superior to Other Religious Leaders. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request There's None Like Him, Jesus is Superior to Other Religious Leaders, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.